A recent press release notes, America is under siege from behind our own lines. A sinister and radical left is systematically dismantling the very principles upon which America was founded. Individual liberty, sacred freedoms, and equality for all. Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, the new president of Young America's Foundation, YAF, is fighting back with a bold new plan that will reverberate for generations to come. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Scott Walker joins us on the line. Scott, or former Governor Walker, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to be with you.
First of all, let's start with the Young American Foundation itself, because isn't this the organization or one of the things that William F. Buckley Jr. started way back when?
It is, yeah. YAF started at the home of William F. Buckley. One of the earliest leaders is Ronald Reagan, and it's had a great conservative legacy since then. And so when I was asked by the board to come and be the new president, jumped at the chance. Ron Robinson, the previous president, did a fabulous job building a remarkable program, a great team, and great supporters, and really had a positive impact on students across the country. But as I looked at where we stand in society today, we're really under siege. We see it not only on our campuses, increasingly we see it in our culture, in our communications, with the censorship from big tech. We see it all over, and the left didn't just start this overnight. They've been at this for decades. And so my goal going forward with this new long game is not to change what YAF does, but rather to expand it, to reach more young people on more campuses and at younger ages, because we know we've got to match the indoctrination that's happening by the left.
Now, what exactly is Young America's Foundation? I mean, I'm familiar, having gone to college myself and so forth, familiar with Campus Crusade for Christ, which has changed its name to CRU, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, the Navigators, some of the Christian groups on campus. But the Young America's Foundation, I've read about it here and there, but I'm not familiar with what it actually does on many college campuses.
Yeah, for us, a simple way to point out is it's really the YAF trains the next generation of freedom fighters. So when you think about freedom of speech, when you think about freedom of religion, when you think about the very things that our founders specifically included in our Constitution to guarantee rights that were endowed by our Creator, but they needed to be defined in the Constitution so that the government wouldn't overreach and try and restrict or take those rights away. That's really what we do is to fight to protect those individual liberties, to make sure that people, whether it's politically conservative or it's religious conservative voices on campus, have a right to be heard, a right to speak out, whether it's to organize with an organization of like-minded students, whether it's to bring in speakers. What we've found is, we've been at this for years, but we found with this long game proposal we're putting out is that we've got to be more aggressive, that increasingly it went from being maybe a liberal bias to political correctness to now this outright cancel culture where people who are even remotely considered to be conservative, remotely considered to be conservative Christians are really just outright blocked from being able to speak out and organize. And so Young America's Foundation, YF, got this great history, but we needed to step it up and be more aggressive. So, in fact, if people want more details, they want a copy of our action plan, yaf.org/longgame. We'll send it to them absolutely free, and it tells not only the work that we've done, but more importantly, the work we plan on doing going forward.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about that, your plans for the future. And by the way, give us one example of what's happening now. I mean, for example, we read on occasion where, let's say Ann Coulter was going to be speaking at a college campus and she got canceled, or Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch or so forth. Sometimes the sponsor of these organizations, doing the inviting, is Young America's Foundation, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll do, it can be our own chapters, it can be working with other groups, it could be a faith-based group, it could be the College Republicans, it could be Students for Life, it could be any number of groups, because again, we're full-spectrum conservative, so we're involved with all these different areas. But a good recent example is the University of California, Berkeley. Students there involved with us wanted to bring in a speaker by the name of Ben Shapiro. The campus claimed that they're for free speech, but what they did was they put up all these unreasonable barriers, like saying, well, you can have a speaker, but you can't have the speaker come in after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can't advertise it. You have to pay exorbitant security fees that, in his case, were three times what they had previously charged a left-wing group who brought a U.S. Supreme Court justice on campus. We took that to court. We took legal action. We invoked the Constitution. We won. And not only did they have to pay for part of the legal fees, more importantly, they had to change the policy. So now it has to be on a level playing field that they can't pick and choose. But what historically has happened, and what particularly happens lately, is that either college administrators outright or student government officials will block. And in fact, we found this in some of the open records that we've requested at any of these government-run institutions. They're under typically open records, Freedom of Information Act type laws. Mm-hmm. And what we found is all too often, particularly in the student government case, they're openly mocking not only conservatives, but Christians, but conservative Jewish leaders as well. And we fight back and defend that, because what they'll do is they'll either block outright, or usually what they do more like or frequently is they put up these barriers that they don't put up for anyone else as a way to effectively block while still claiming they're for free speech. That's not free speech. That's not right. But we know the reason many of the radicals are doing this is they don't want people to hear our ideas. They don't want to hear our message. Because they're afraid it will resonate, so they try to outright cancel us. Mm.
Yeah, you know, this makes me think of, I remember once talking with one of the experts at the Heritage Foundation, and I asked him about his own personal background. How did he become a conservative? And he said that he had been a liberal basically all of his life or whatever, as much as he thought about it. And then he heard on college campuses much ballyhooed speaker, you know, one that everybody was saying, oh, she's terrible, she's the worst, blah, 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 blah. But Phyllis Schlafly came and spoke on the campus. And as he actually listened to her, he's like, this lady makes total sense. And he became a conservative. And I'm talking about a man named Robert Rector of the Heritage Foundation. But I've never forgotten that story, because it does show you these, even these college campus appearances can make a huge difference in a person's life when they finally hear the other side. Of course, the left is sort of like saying, well, there really is no other side, you know, and so therefore, you know, we hate has no voice. Well, who says this is hate? Who says Ben Shapiro or Phyllis Schlafly promotes hate? That's nonsense.
No, you're 100% right. And we see this not only in our college campuses, but increasingly even the media. You just saw Lester Holt, the NBC news anchor, say that he thought fairnesses were overrated and that somehow they should be the final arbiter of what is fact and what is not, even though they consistently get the very essence of fact wrong. But this is why in college campuses, free speech should be afforded anywhere in the United States, because it's guaranteed under the Constitution. But it should be most revered, I think, in most of our minds, on our college campuses, where people go to be challenged, to learn, to think critically. And yet that's exactly where it's the most under risk. And so we have to push back. We know it can make a difference. The long game, the plan that we have, is to reach every campus. Right now we're in about 2,000, which is about half. We want to be on every campus in America. We want to bring more speakers in. We want to have more ways to get access in social media. We want to reach students younger and have a bigger impact. When I think about adding more students, I think of, similar to your story about Phyllis Schlafly, we had Katie Pavlich, someone that people might be familiar with. She's a an author. She's on townhall.com as an editor. Mm-hmm. She's probably most familiar to folks. She's on The Five on Fox News and other shows on that network. She came 13 years ago to one of our programs that YF puts on at the Reagan Ranch out in California, which we own and operate. We brought in Andrew Breitbart. Some other speakers happened to be there that day, and that completely changed her view of the world. Hmm. And we believe there can be more people like her out there, and like Phyllis Schlafly had years ago. We believe that there are plenty of solid conservative speakers that we bring to campus, to conferences, to events, to gatherings, that when our students hear it, it opens their eyes, it opens their minds. And before that, they really haven't been in a position to hear these arguments. And we know, we see it even in the polls, that when young people hear conservative common sense arguments, they suddenly open, and it changes where they're at. That's why the left doesn't want us to be there.
Wow. Okay, so the long game is you're on 2,000 campuses now. You want to have a presence on more than 4,000 college campuses. What else is a part of the long game?
We want to reach a million more people, a million more students participating in our programs. We want to have speakers and conferences in all 50 states so that we can reach students at every campus out there. We not only want to do more on campus, we know that the number one way that people, young people, get their information overwhelmingly is from YouTube as opposed to Twitter and these other things. So we already have a channel on YouTube, but we want to get up to 5 million subscribers and a billion views just on that alone, because we know it's great when a speaker's on campus. It's even better when you multiply that, you know, 1,000-fold, reaching young minds across this great country. And we know we got to reach not only college students, we got to go into high school and even junior high and start reaching students at a younger and younger age, including, where necessary, even providing materials for the parents of elementary school students, because what we find is that the left is out there infiltrating curriculum deep in our schools, teaching our kids to hate America. Yeah. We want to provide materials that offer the counter to that, that make the case why America is exceptional, that talk about our founders and our founding principles, that talk about our Judeo-Christian values, and why those things are just as important today as they were at the birth of this great nation.
Do you have hope for America?
I do. I'm a total optimist. As down as I think people can get with what's happened in Washington, what happened in the elections, what they see in terms of particularly in the polling of young people and how far to the left they are, I just look at that and I say, you know what? We know that all that's true, but we also know, particularly with young people, that if we expose them to the truth, those numbers change, that they're not, you know, they're not, their feet are not in cement, that they can change. We have a better case to be made about fairness. We're the ones that ultimately are uniting people in the sense that we love this country and we want everyone, no matter who they are, rich or poor, young or old, black or white, doesn't matter what your background, we want everyone to have the freedom and opportunity that our founders intended, that has been a part of the American tradition and will be going forward. Whereas those on the radical left want to pit one group of Americans versus another. We have a common, consistent message that doesn't vary by group. And the more we get that message out, the better we're going to be.
Do you think that in some ways your experiences as the governor of Wisconsin for quite a few terms, I don't remember how many terms was it exactly? Three?
I won 3 elections in 2 terms, yeah.
Okay, wow. All right, so do you feel, though, in a sense, that experience helped prepare you for what you're doing today with what do you call it, YF?
YF, the Young America's Foundation.
Right.
Or whatever. Sometimes I say YF because people easier to remember the website, YAF.org.
YF, yeah, .org.
Yeah,
okay.
To answer your question, for sure. I mean, The 10 years ago when I was first governor, we faced the ultimate cancel culture. Right? The left sent in 100,000 protesters to occupy my state capitol. They were trying to intimidate us. They wanted to marginalize us and minimize us and make us feel like we were alone. We went out and took the message around the rest of the state. We got out of the dome, if you will, both the capitol and just the figurative dome, and we got to the people. And the people ultimately, not only after the protest, but when they tried to recall me, we won the recall election. At that time, the first governor in American history to win a recall because our reforms actually worked. And when people could hear it and see it in their own families, in their own homes, in their own communities, they stood with us. And I believe in a similar situation, maybe different in scale in terms of the size of the protest, but many of our students and even educators. I think there's a lot of conservative or at least objective teachers and professors out there who just want the truth. They don't want to force feed all this radical doctrine into the mouths of our students. They want to give them the chance to think critically, to give them the facts out there. And so we've got to let our students know, we got to let our educators know, we got to let our parents know that they are not alone, that there are plenty of others out there like us who think like they do far more than the media thinks, and that that's the whole strategy of the left, is to make people feel like they're out there on their own. But we've got to compete, and that's why I said part of the long game is competing sooner. I'll give you one specific example. We have a tip line. Typically, it's about colleges, professors, campus strategies, things like that, that are just crazy and have to be exposed and revealed. But one of those tips came from a student at Iowa State University, but it wasn't about the campus. It was about the local school board, the local school district. In Ames, Iowa, of all places, not on the coast, but in Ames, Iowa, back in February, they were promoting a BLM week of action, which was under the guise of Black History Month. It had nothing to do with Black history. It was curriculum from preschool to 12th grade. And for the preschool and kindergarten students, they were giving them coloring pages with transgender figures, telling them they could pick whether they wanted to be a boy or a girl or somewhere in between. This is just absolutely wrong. It doesn't belong in our schools. But this is how soon, this is how deep into schools the radical left is trying to indoctrinate our young people. We've got to push back and counter that. Again, not only in situations like that specific example, but overwhelmingly examples of the 1619 Project and other things where they're trying to teach our kids to hate America. We cannot let that happen. We've got the tools to counter that. That's a part of our long game.
All right. Scott Walker, thank you so much for joining us. Again, the website is yaf.org. All the best. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.